Sometimes life can knock you down, hit you like a diesel truck. And part of learning how to fall is getting right back up.
The views expressed on this broadcast of Interview Friday do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT is not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
That first time I went to a meeting, they said anything that ain't about drinking. It's an outside issue.
Outside issue.
It's an outside issue.
Outside issue.
Oh, it ain't in the room, but it ain't conference approved. I want to talk about dope. Smoke and blow. They shook their heads, said no, 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 no.
And now, broadcasting to you from KHLT Recovery Broadcasting and Kick12Radio.com on your internet dial, here's the Monkey Man.
Well, greetings to my friends in recovery type like family. It is good to have you with us. Yes, indeedy, I am, of course, the Monkey Man, the one and only, thank goodness for all of us. Hey, you got a resentment today? Well, doggone it, you guys. Let me tell you something. Whoever it's against, whatever it's against, or the elements, or whatever, listen, they're not losing any sleep over it, all right? You're the one losing sleep over it. So this is the deal. Do not stuff that thing. Talk to somebody about it, would you please? We know it's the number one offender. It takes more of us out than anything else. You got to talk to somebody, that you're accountable to, a sponsor, a pastor, somebody that you trust, all right? You walk around with that stupid thing hanging over your head and in your heart, it's going to eat you up. And you know what we're doomed to do again? And some people say, well, I may drink again. You may do worse than that. Believe me, you may. So it's not worth the risk. Life is too short, my friends. It is a beautiful day to be clean and sober today. It is a wonderful day to be accountable to each other, to lift each other up, to encourage each other. We're going to have a lot of fun today on the show today. My guest is Richie Supa. Now, many of you know his name. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Richie is a New York singer-songwriter with over 200 cuts and 5 solo albums to his name. Richie's career was launched via the legendary Long Island band, the Rich Kids, who were signed by Clive Davis to Columbia Records. Richie also went on to a career on Broadway, where he had the lead role in the hit musical Hair. He became a household name in the Northeast, which helped to launch his now 30-plus year career. Artists who have cut his songs reads like a who's who of music industry with over 50 million records sold. Artists who have recorded Supa's songs include Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Ozzy Osbourne, Micah, Pink, and legendary artists like Johnny Winter, Tom Jones, Air Supply, Glenn Campbell, Willie Nelson, and we could go on further than that, I'm sure. Richie's songs have appeared in Disney movies, featured films, and on network television, including the hit show Melrose Place. Supa has been a behind-the-scenes voice in the legendary rock band Aerosmith for years, including being on a touring member. He co-wrote several of their number one rock hits, including Chip Away, The Stone, Lightning Strikes, Pink, and Amazing. Richie co-wrote with Richie Sambora on his most recent solo album and tours with Sambora on his solo project. He currently makes Nashville his home, away from home, working with some of the best writers in town, bringing his rock and blues edge to the modern Nashville sound. And Richie is on the air with us right now via a phone interview. Richie, welcome to Take 12 Radio, man.
Hey, Monty. How you doing, buddy?
It is good to have you on. I'm doing great, and it's an honor to have you on, and it certainly is a treat. There's a song we're going to be listening to called In the Rooms here pretty quickly. And we're going to be listening to the song that we just heard just a little tiny clip of. But you said something, or sometimes life can knock you down and hit you like a diesel truck, and part of learning how to fall is getting right back up. Truer words cannot be spoken. Have you fallen down a few times, brother?
I have fallen down more times than I can count. I can't count that much.
Well, you have been around for quite a while, and you have been in amongst folks that are clean and sober and amongst people that not so much. Just to kind of qualify, what was going on, man? What happened? I mean, you weren't always, you know, a bad boy, were you?
Well, I mean, you know, I started out as a, you know, back in my teenage years, you know, experimenting, you know. I was the kid that was going around, and after my parents had a party of instead of emptying the beer in the sink, I would just down, you know, when nobody was looking, I would empty the glass down my throat. And I was just, you know, I was a product of, you know, the 60s, and people were smoking dope, and although I didn't jump on the whole psychedelics thing because I tried it once and hated it, but when I was a young musician, you know, we were innocently smoking smoking pot and having fun with it all. It was part of the growing experience, but, you know, what I didn't know was there was a sleeping monster waiting. I did not know I had an addictive personality, and none of us do until it's pretty much too late.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And you look at the people who can have a little drinky-poo and, you know, or smoke a joint, or I had friends of mine who would light a joint and take three hits and put it away, and I go, what are you going to do with that? He goes, well, I'm going to save it for next Friday. And I was the guy who, give me that. Give me that. What do you mean save it to next Friday? You know, I didn't understand that. I mean, I wasn't that kind of drug addict.
Well, Richie, okay, in the industry, you saw, did you not, a lot of people just really bite the dust and crash and burn?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people, like, you know, you got to understand something, you know, in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, we didn't know the downside.
Yeah.
Well, no one knew the downside of 20 years of, 10 years of smoking pot or 10 years of doing blow or, you know, no one really cared. You know, and we didn't have the internet back then, and we didn't really know the devastation that was actually going on out there, because the world was not as small as it was, as it is today. So we weren't hearing about kids ODing and kids running off the road and hit trees, and, you know, every once in a while it would come on the news. But now, you know, we see it, we feel it every day. I mean, it's a different world right now.
It is. That it is. Now, something happened that bring you to a place where a decision was made to change the direction you were going. What happened?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, I was a functioning drug addict, you know. I had a lucrative career as a songwriter. My associations, naturally, with Aerosmith in the 70s kind of put me into another level of drug using.
Right.
I became a fairly famous person in New York between doing hair, and I was all over the radio as a solo artist. I was a singer-songwriter getting some recognition, and then when I kind of joined up and became friends with Aerosmith, and they started recording some of my songs, I was sort of catapulted into another level of, you know, visibility, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became the thing to do. Back then, you know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That expression didn't come up by accident.
Right.
I was very successful, so I saw no reason in fixing something that I didn't think was broke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd sit home and look at all the gold and platinum records on the wall, and, oh, my song is number one rock song this week, and then another one, and then on and on and on, and I was blessed to be able to go out and play and tour with Aerosmith, and that was another level of, I mean, I lived that rock and roll lifestyle and saw all the trappings coming at me like Scud missiles, even on nights that I didn't want to snort any more blow because my nose was bleeding, and all of a sudden somebody would walk in with an ounce because everybody wanted to turn on the band, and everybody wanted to hang and be seen with us. So it was just a nonstop, never-ending, you know, event, and I didn't realize that I was a junkie just because I was, you know, shooting up or smoking Freebase in the back of my limo. instead of an alley, I was still a drug addict.
Right, right. Now let me ask you this. A lot of people, you know, most people don't know what goes behind the scenes and so forth at concerts unless they've had a pass to go way back into the deep, dark corners of what's going on. But before a show, all right, was it common to be blottoed and just out of it before you'd go on?
Well, you got to understand something. You know, there's a saying in the rooms that you never get as high as the first time you get high.
That's right. Yep.
I never really got blacked out. I got high. I knew just how much I could take.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought I could play well, which is part of the conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of living the lie. And I thought I sounded great. And, you know, everybody, listen, getting high is a ritual.
Yeah.
Okay?
You bet.
Everybody has their own little ritual. People roll joints a certain way. People smoked pot in bongs a certain way. I was the guy who put, you know, black or strawberry soda in the bottom of my bong and certain string, you know, it's just a ritual. I mean, it was a ritual. So I had my ritual before I went on stage, and yeah, I was good and high. I was good and high, but, you know, we don't look behind to see the wreckage that we leave.
Yeah.
I was literally on stage with Aerosmith when it all came to a crashing halt. I forget where we were, somewhere in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a certain member of the band had a seizure right on stage.
Oh, boy.
And I knew it was the demise of all of us.
Yeah.
And it abruptly ended.
Yeah.
And, you know, coupled with the fact that I started to get pulled over by the police, and a couple of times I got busted for possession because they pulled me over because my taillight was out. Who cared?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. But it led to, do you have anything in the car that I should know about? Well, how, you know, mind if I search you? And yes, I do mind. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And so we all know the outcome, you know, jails, institutions, or death.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been to the jails and institutions, so I don't choose to go and try to, you know, see what the third one is like.
Right, right. So, okay, so it was a big wake-up call. It changed the band in a lot of ways, didn't it?
Well, it changed the band in a lot of ways, and you got to understand that, you know, it's no secret. I mean, if you read the Aerosmith autobiography, you know,
right,
or Walk This Way, there's I mentioned in the book a lot, you know, that I was set up in a drug sting in Manhattan and taken down by a low-level guy in my neighborhood who told the cops that he could hand somebody a high-level songwriter in Manhattan who was associated with a high-level rock and roll band, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And my life changed.
Yeah.
My life changed. I had to spend almost 2 years in jail, and luckily my conviction, they handed back all my rights because I wasn't a criminal, and
mm-hmm.
And through high-powered lawyering and stuff, I was able to get my rights restored, and, you know, it made it all go away. But yes, I wound up in a jail cell. I tell the story when I speak. You know, I went from Madison Square Garden to Rikers Island, which when you talk about falling from grace, it's a pretty big shock. You know, like, my ego is like, why, don't you know who I am? You can't do this to me. I'm Richie Super, you know, and I tried that in a meeting, and somebody stood up and said, no, you're a drug addict.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, so I started to realize the difference between what I was and who I was.
So there really isn't any celebrity status in prison, is there?
There is no celebrity status in prison except the gods come and going, man, I saw you in concert, man.
Right.
What are you doing in here? I love Chip Away the Stone. It's one of my favorite songs. you know, blah, you know, it's like, oh my God, look at the tattoo on your arm. It is you. And it's like, you know, you want to, you don't know, you want to bury your head in the sand.
Right.
Because it's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Very shameful.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah. So you walked in. You walked in the doors of some kind of recovery focused group. Was it a 12-step group?
I mean, I found. I heard about the rooms through H&I.
Uh huh.
A kid came in to a jail meeting, and I signed the sign out sheet because I heard it was about drugs, and I wanted to get out of my cell, and so I signed out curious, and I heard a young Puerto Rican kid come in and share his story, and he hit a nerve with me. It was like, man, I did that too. Wow. Oh, wow, he mixed cocaine and heroin. Wow, I love that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sticking my hand up and talking with him and laughing about it, and, you know, and then he basically started saying, listen, I was where you sat.
Yeah.
Wearing prison green. And I didn't like it either, and you don't look good in that color either. And I'm going to tell you how you don't have to come back here. And so, you know, yes, when I got out, I used immediately. I was, you know, what got me through my little jail stint of 24 months was the fact that I couldn't wait to get back out and use again.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I never blamed it on my drugs. I blamed it on, I should have changed my taillight bulb. I shouldn't have been at that guy's apartment because I knew he was shaky. And I shouldn't have done this. I never blamed it on the drugs. You know, so, yeah, I got out. My first thing I did was go cop, and I was right back to the races again because I really didn't learn anything because, you know, I went through rehabs. I went through Phoenix House, Project Return. They gave me a meeting list, and when I left, and they said make a meeting, and I never understood. I knew they were out there, but I didn't think I needed them. You know.
Yeah.
Well, so you know, come to find out that you know rehabs are for discovery, and the meetings are for recovery.
Sure. Absolutely.
Totally two different things.
Yeah, you betcha. But now, you did learn some stuff. You did learn some head knowledge in there that helped you, did you not?
The seed was planted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've heard that many times in rooms. You know,
yeah.
The seed was planted. I knew that there were meetings out there. I knew that I could go. I heard things about easy does it, you know, one day at a time. I heard that we can't do this alone. The loneliest place for an addict is to be in his own head, and that's a bad neighborhood.
Right.
I heard all these things. And so I finally went to a meeting one night in 1988 in South Florida. I moved out of New York to relocate because, you know, they said the only thing you have to change is everything. And, you know, when I examined my phone book, everybody in there used.
I had one of those, yeah.
So it was recovery is not an event. It's a process.
It is a process, yes. And it is.
And I put my hand up in the room, the first meeting, and I went, my name is Richie, I'm a drug addict from Manhattan, and I'm here to use less drugs.
You said I'm here to use less drugs?
I stood up and actually said that I'm here to use less drugs.
What kind of response did that get?
I got a few expletives from the back. Hey, man, you know, I'm sitting back here, Jones, and I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. But that same guy hugged me. You know, for me, it was a learning lesson. I mean, it was part of my rock and roll persona, you know, like how could I go through life without using and how could I write songs without using? So I wasn't surrendering without a fight, even though I was beat up. I wasn't going down without a fight.
Sure, sure.
And that was just me because, you know what they say, some of us are sicker than others?
That's right.
My middle name was Some.
You were Some.
Yeah, some of us. My middle name was Some of Us, so.
Well, Richie, there were obviously some pretty powerful things that happened to you while you were in the rooms, and still goes on in your life today in the rooms, which has been a real part, has contributed a lot, obviously, to the words that were put together for this song you wrote in the rooms, which we're going to hear in a few minutes. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, can you share with the listeners your heart and this song and why the song and so forth? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Folks, don't go away. You don't want to miss this. More with my very special guest, Richie Supa, when we return. Hold on.
Lost my job. I can't make my rent, they said. Sorry, son. Unemployment. Outside issue.
Healing-Habits.com and nationally acclaimed recovery author Carl Tucci Palmieri are both humbled and honored to have the privilege of reprinting When Man Listens, a classic work by Cecil Rose, an original member of the well-known Oxford Group. This inspirational work, like many other great works, was born out of the depths of the Depression. Works like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount, and Norman Vincent Peale's The Art of Living are in great company with the book When Man Listens. Pick up your copy of When Man Listens by Cecil Rose and be the first to own this incredible book that was thought to be lost forever, reprinted in its original form. Visit healing-habits.com and be prepared to experience a very special psychic and spiritual awakening.
Hey, this is Tommy Holmes, and you're listening to Interview Friday with my pal, the Monty Man.
Well, welcome back, my friends, and this is Take12Radio.com on your internet dial. Our email address is Take12Radio@Comcast.net, and our phone number here at the studio is 541-926-5806. You can call that number 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And you will more than likely get our voicemail because we'll either be recording or doing something goofy, but we'll get back to you ASAP, usually the same day. All right, my guest today is Richie Supa. Many of you know him as a member of Aerosmith and many of his other songs as well. And I want to talk to you about a couple of those too, Richie. But right now, there was a song that came out here last year called In the Rooms that my guest Richie wrote. Last year, the 12-Step Music Fest that was put on in Florida in Key West, it was the festival's first year last year, and Richie, you performed there, and you performed this song as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Now, did somebody approach you to write a song, and how did it come to be? Tell us the history behind this.
Well, two of my friends here in South Florida were talking to me about launching a website called intherooms.com, which was going to be a social networking website where addicts and alcoholics could join and talk with each other, share their experience, strength, and hope, have a live chat room, and just have a place to go.
Yeah,
that was, you know, completely about the recovery process. And when they launched the website, these two gentlemen, Kenny P and RT, were in the meeting that I go to every Friday night, and they said to me, listen, go to the website and check out the mock-up of the site, which is going to be launching in a month, but we would love you to write a song for the website called In the Rooms. And, you know, I had a very busy schedule. I thought it was an interesting idea, although I didn't know how I was going to approach the title In the Rooms without selling out. I really didn't know quite how to do that. I wrote Amazing with Aerosmith years ago, and it was a huge number one record song, and it was about recovery. And so a lot of kids found out. I got tens of thousands of emails, you know, people saying I was smoking or I had about to stick a needle in my arm, and that song came on the radio and I listened to the lyrics, I put it down, I went to a meeting, you know, just heartbreaking stuff.
Right, right.
And so, but in the rooms, you know, I really believed in the website, and I really believed that it was going to be a very, very useful tool. So I just asked God to help me be truthful, and it just I wrote the song. It sort of unfolded. It was very, very simple. It really kind of paralleled my life, you know, and you know, lyrically, when you read it down, you know, it opens up. In my younger years, I let my spirit run, getting high, drinking all the time just for fun. And I don't know where or when I crossed that line, and I started dying.
Yeah.
Which is really the invisible line that all of us addicted folks have. We don't know when we took one drink too many, though, that one joint too many. You know, we just, it's that line between... Yeah. You know, casual using and addiction.
Sure, I don't remember. I can't pinpoint it. I can't pinpoint the time and what event it was, but I know it was.
You know, and the song goes on to say, you know, I was so far gone, I couldn't find myself. On the borders of insane is where I screamed for help.
Hmm.
Then I found the door that opened up my eyes, and I came alive. That was the night I walked into a meeting.
Hmm.
You know, and I said, in the rooms where broken angels go.
Right.
And love is like an army that comes to save your soul. In the rooms, there's a miracle waiting there for you. And when you're at the bitter end, you can learn to live again in the rooms, you know.
Yeah, all right.
And, you know, it was just, I just wanted to write it like it, tell it like it was, you know. I didn't want to try to get too poetic.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that after I wrote it, it was a great body of work. And it was just, you know, my higher power. It was just a spiritual thing. It came out this way for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, but I lived every line.
And I totally concur with that because, you know, I get a lot of music sent to me and, you know, flooded with it sometimes. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. And then once in a while something comes along. And when I heard this song, I don't know too many people that when they hear this thing, they're right there. Because that's exactly how the majority of us felt. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, but boy, it is so simple and it's so true to form to who we are. I just appreciate it so, so much, and I know hundreds and hundreds of people do. And I thank you so much for being what I would call obedient to your higher power to write, to allow Him to use you as a vessel to write something like this.
Yeah.
All right.
I get that. You know, I tell people all the time when I get hundreds of emails. You know, like I was just a guy holding the pen.
Sure.
That night. You know what I mean? I was just there, holding the pen. That was the writer side of me.
Yeah.
But you know, I was guided through this by my feelings. You know, my heart, and my experience. So it kind of wrote itself. It wasn't that difficult to write because the truth kind of unfolds. The truth, it's a continuing thing, you know, so it just kind of unfolded.
All right, my friends, hold on to your horses. If you haven't heard this song yet, it will move you, and if you have, it'll move you again. Here's In the Rooms by Richie Supa.
In my younger years, I let my spirit run. Getting high, drinking all the time, just for fun. And I don't know where or when I crossed that line. And I started dying. I was so far gone, I couldn't find myself. On the borders of insane is where I scream for help. Then I found the door that opened up my eyes, and I came alive. In the rooms where broken angels go, and love is like an army that comes to save your soul. In the rooms there's a miracle waiting there.
you're at the bitter end, you can learn to live again in the room. And God was something I didn't understand till a stranger came and took me by the hand. And he helped me through what I couldn't do alone, and I knew I was home in the room where broken angels go. And love is like an army that comes to save your soul. In the room there's a miracle just waiting there for you when you're at the bitter end. You can learn to live again in the room. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and the desperation cuts you like a knife, you can let it go once you face the truth inside. Start getting in the rooms where broken angels go. And love is like an army that comes to save your soul. In the rooms there's a miracle just waiting there for you. Your faith is what you need. We all come to believe in the rooms.
In the rooms with my guests are Richie Supa here on Take12Radio.com on your internet dial. And you can hear Richie's music right here as we play our three-hour looping sessions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it changes and updates every single day. The 12-Step Music Fest, which is coming up, and we're going to hear a promo for that in a second. But, Richie, this is your second year performing there. And we're going to have a whole lot of fun this year. We've got some pretty wild people showing up.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun, and a lot of kids are hitting me up on the space. You know, I should have a CD of these songs available by then. You know, and this is available on Amazon.com.
Right.
If they want to download it and it's to drive around in the car. It's turning out to be sort of an anthem for a lot of people, which is. Does my heart good, you know.
Yep.
I mean, that's the job of a writer. If it resonates with, you know, if you can feel what I feel, then I did my job.
Well, you know, it's such a fun thing for folks that do what I do. When we come across something like this and we tell our colleagues and our friends, hey, come over here. You got to hear this song.
Yeah.
It's just a hoot for us to do that. And what a pleasure to do that. Now, Mark Lindholm is the MC for the event. Have you ever met Mark before?
I think I met him one time, yeah.
You're just going to fall over laughing. I mean, you better come with a new gut because it'll rip your gut out. He is just something else. And, of course, we all know the self-esteem guys and Don and Rich. They're just great people. But the In the Rooms thing, and you explained a little bit about what it is. You're on there, right?
Yeah. I'm on the. You mean the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, the website. Yeah. Right at the very top, as soon as you sign in, there's a song in the rooms. But I'm on there all the time. I'm a recovering addict who talks to a lot of friends on a daily basis. It's spreading all over the country. I think it's in 7 or 8 different countries. I speak to people in India and England, and it's just unbelievable. And so, I'm on there all the time, and I support this 100%. So
what do people do? They come on, for the listeners, I'm on there too, but for the listeners' benefit, If somebody wants to join the community there, they go to intherooms.com?
Intherooms.com. You'll come to the website. It'll say register. You can register. You fill out a profile. It's like a MySpace page. You can put photos, your clean date, what you know, whether you're in AA, NA, CA, a little bit about yourself, what your interests are, you know, just if you don't want to use your real name, you can come up with a surname. And, you know, it's just it's like a MySpace page, but only it's all about recovery. There's live chat room. You can go on and do live, you know, live chats with people and it's messaging back and forth and how you doing today. You come on, you sign on. It's just a daily thing. There's tapes from different meetings that you can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's got everything.
You can actually have those tapes put on your own page, too.
You can have the tapes put on your own page. You can actually go to a meeting. If you can't make a meeting, you can bring a meeting to the house.
Right, right.
And that's what it is. And so it's just it's a very unique, you know, people talk about, well, maybe it's stepping on the traditions. I don't think so.
It's not. And you know, I went through that when we started with Take 12 Radio 4 years ago. And we really wanted to cross our T's and dot our I's in all the right places as much as we could. And, you know, I've been in my fellowship now for 23 years, and I learned a lot of stuff. I found out that I was totally in left field when it came to the anonymity tradition. I thought there was all sorts of law going on there, and it has been totally misunderstood. And we are a lot freer to do and share the message than I think some of us have been led to believe. And I think,
you know what, Monty, I've never been a 12-step Nazi, okay?
Right, me either.
I'm not the guy. I'm the wrong guy to talk to about, oh, don't say the sober word. You can't say the sober word, the S word, in a NA meeting, and you can't say this word in that meeting. And
oh, I know.
I just don't get it, because years ago in L.A., they used to have these renegade meetings where the literature for AA and NA were side by side on a table.
Right.
And I heard a woman who back then had 35 years, and she said, I'll never forget this. She goes, the same disease that took me into the closet to get my bottle of vodka is the same disease that takes a dope fiend down the alley to cop a bag of dope.
Yes, thank you. Well said.
And
well
so
said.
I never forgot that. So
yeah.
When I hear people put their hand up and go, well, don't say that, don't say the S word, the sober word, I go, and I just put my hand, I just jump on them.
Yeah, yeah, I
you
hear
know,
you.
Because as a traveling musician, years ago, when I needed to go to a meeting in the middle of the United States, I couldn't find an NA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But I could find an AA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But what was I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Reuse? Or go to an AA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Because I needed a meeting.
That's right.
A meeting. And so it stopped me from using that night. So I don't get all that. So.
No, and you know, here's the deal, Richie, and I've said this before. If you're going to live under the law, then you have to obey every aspect. Otherwise, you've broken the whole law. I would much rather live under grace. And, you know,
right.
I have my first sponsor told me the traditions are written in jello. Boy, I don't want to say that to some Nazis, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
But the deal of it is, a lot of it, Richie, is people are just parroting what somebody said before them, and that person going back far enough does not know their history accurately. And so people have been sold a bill of goods in a lot of areas. And it's not just with our recovery fellowships. It's in all sorts of areas of life.
Exactly.
And you know, and the whole thing, we just got to let that stuff fall off our shoulders. I mean, let's major on the majors, not on the minors, for crying out loud.
Exactly. You know, and for people listening, don't get caught up in all that stuff.
No.
No, if you have a drug problem, you earned a seat, and that seat is in any meeting that you can get to. Okay, you go and get recovery. Recovery doesn't have to be, it can be in any fellowship. go and get it.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the disease of addiction. And so, I can't go there. I never drank, so what do I do, you know? You know, that's why we have little things like make no mistake about it, alcohol is a drug.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, God.
I know.
I was told years ago to take what I need and leave the rest. So I took what I needed and left the noise. And not everything we hear in the rooms we agree with, but you take what you need and leave the rest, you know. So for the newcomers out there who are listening, that's how you deal with this. Go to a meeting, take what you need, leave the rest, and just remember that recovery is portable. You can take it with you wherever you go.
And we, you know, there's enough worldly clamor out there. We don't need to be dragging it around with it. That's for sure.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things I like about these recovery events that are popping up all over the place now, the concerts. You know, a lot of the political mishmash that goes on at area level or district level, depending on what program you're in, or regional level or whatever, a lot of that stuff, that's left at the gate, man. You know, if it's in the meeting, it's left at the door, supposedly. At a concert, it's left at the gate, my friends.
Yeah.
We come together, you know, and we have all these easy ups all over the place, so selling food that's not good for you. And
you come together in the spirit of recovery.
It is awesome. It is, and I see people walking around with AA necklaces, and ones with NA necklaces, and ones with necklaces that have the AA Al-Anon and NA logo mixed together. Nobody's fighting with each other. None of that stuff's going on. You know, it's like, I remember, Richie, my very first actual football game that I ever went to was way after I was, you know, I was already out of college and everything, was a Raiders and a 49ers game down at the L.A. Coliseum. And I thought I'd never see this. There were husbands and wives on two separate teams walking together, you know, and I thought, wow, what a concept. I wonder when the program's going to get that.
Unbelievable.
You know? We're going to listen to another song right after this break called Dancing in the Rain. Folks, don't go away. More with my guest, Richie Supa, after this. Hey, everybody. I want to invite you to join me for this year's 12-Step Music Fest on November 5th through the 8th in the beautiful Florida Keys. There's going to be songwriting workshops, oceanfront camping, pool and hot tub, marathon meetings, and the famous floating meetings where we all 12-step into the water. This year's performing artists include the 2009 Prism Award winners, the recovery band Self-Esteem, and the incredible Ricky Supa. Also playing will be Freebo, Mike Vito, and Bubba Mack, just to name a few. And just when you thought it couldn't get any better, your MC will be internationally known recovery comedian Mr. Mark Lemholm. So get your tickets now at www.12stepmusicfest.com. That's 12stepmusicfest.com, and get ready to rock in recovery.
This is Tony Morosi from the recovery band Self-Esteem, and we're listening to the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show with the Monty Man on KHLT Broadcasting.
And speaking of Self-Esteem and Richie Supa, the Prism Awards. Congratulations, man.
Oh, thanks. That was a fun, fun evening to share the award with those guys. That was a great evening.
That was awesome. I regret not being able to have been there, but I was right on top of it. I was sitting by the phone, and Tony, on his way there, we were talking. He said, I'll call you back just as soon as I can. So, of course, he got right, and he'd get wrapped up in things. But when he called me back, he said, you'll never believe it. And I go, what? And he goes, we both won.
That's great.
And I thought, wow, that is such a God thing. That is so awesome.
And I had the opportunity to go up on stage and sing a couple of songs, you know, live.
Wow.
One of which was in the rooms. So that was a treat.
Yeah. Gosh. What a
And, you know, there was a very famous person backstage, and I can't mention his name, but he was giving out an award, and he goes, oh, my God, I can't believe it was you. You know, like, last time I saw you, you were... You know,
three sheets to the wind and
exactly.
Yeah, isn't that fun? Ah, what a fun thing. All right, this song, Dancing in the Rain, why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, Dancing in the Rain is just, you know, it's about when life shows up and smacks you around a little bit. And you know, it's not only about drugs, it's about drugs, life, love, basic adversity in life, and it reminds us that, you know, who we are, we wind up who we are from where we've been, so to speak. And so that's the message of the song, pretty much.
All right, folks, here is Richie Supa singing his song, Dancing in the Rain.
Sometimes life can knock you down, hit you like a diesel truck. And part of learning how to fall is getting right back up. Looking back, I made mistakes. I watched a lot of bridges burn. The road to wisdom leads us to making some wrong turns. And you learn to see by walking through the dark. And where we've been makes us who we are. Life's not waiting for the storm to pass or running from the pain. It's learning how to dance in the rain. Love can take and bruise a heart, bend it like a broken wheel, leave your world so torn apart that only time can heal. I wound up a better man for every single tear I cried, and I wouldn't be where I am if I never tried. You learn to see by walking through the dark. Where we've been just makes us who we are. Life's not waiting for the storm to pass or running from the pain. It's learning how to dance in the rain. Prayers that go unanswered can sometimes hurt like hell. In life you have to play. Well, I know it well. And you learn to see by walking through the dark. And where we've been just makes us who we are. Life's not waiting for the storm to pass or running from the pain. It's learning how to dance.
Dancing in the Rain, Richie Supa. Richie, you have a gift to my brother. You certainly do.
Thank you, my friend.
Without mentioning any names, would you say that the increase or the amount of people in the rock and roll industry today, from what you can observe from where you're at now, that those folks getting into recovery is on the increase?
I think that it is on the increase. I think that because recovery is in the forefront right now, I don't think that musicians stay in it in the drug game as long as we did.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that I wish that there was a program back when I was addicted. We didn't have MAP or any assistance, you know, programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Connected with the Grammy Foundation or anything like that. There was no place that an addict, a musician who was an addict, could go to get help.
yeah.
within his music community. And now there's a lot of places where you can reach out and get help.
Right, right.
So I think there's a lot of people, a lot more people walking through the door. Certainly a lot of musicians that I work with and artists ask me about my journey, you know. You can see that inquisitive look in their eye, like they have a problem that they just don't want to mention it. I just think that there's more doors opening now.
Sure, sure. Well, that's good news, and more power to those organizations and those fellowships. Do you and the guys from Aerosmith keep in touch?
Yes.
Yeah.
I speak to Stephen from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a busy schedule and I'm on a busy schedule, but every once in a while, my phone will ring and I don't speak to him as much as I used to, but we stay in touch, you know.
That's good.
I'm in his heart and vice versa, so, you know.
That's great. That's good. That's good stuff. Richie, any last words for the listeners today before we, take off from this really a fine opportunity for me? I thank you very much. What would you say to the folks?
I mean, I just got to, you know, tell the folks that, you know, if you're in recovery, and your life took an unexpected turn because of either drugs or alcohol, you know, this is a beautiful journey. I mean, I stayed in the rooms because someone told me that if I stayed long enough, I'd experience a miracle and I would be able to get my life back. And that's really why I'm here today. I came in, you know, broke, busted, and disgusted, and a sick and suffering addict. And today I'm a whole person again. I have the love and respect of my family and my kids, and I have my career back. You know, I just, I couldn't get the help I needed anywhere except in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. You know, that's, they didn't just make that up.
Yeah, it is a truth, man.
You know, and, you know, even when I came in the beginning, obnoxious as I was with my rock star ego saying I wanted to use less drugs, somebody put their arms around me and hugged me. And so, somewhere after a year of going to meetings, I was sitting in a Sunday night meeting, and I just got this cold feeling over me, and I knew that I knew the second step had entered my body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a repetition in the beginning. And, you know, I just, for me, I thought using drugs, going to meetings was a death sentence, you know, but now I understand the process. So if you're confused or you're not sure if you belong, you know, believe that I believe until you believe. That's what someone told me. You know, so, for me, it saved my life. Recovery is the center of my universe, and so whatever I can do to give back, I mean, if I can use my celebrity in any way to give back, or my talent as a songwriter, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, that's why I'll be at the 12th Step Music Fest. I do it because I just want to make, I want to move people and show people that there is fun and a light at the end of the tunnel. As they say, the light at the end of the tunnel is no longer a locomotive.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And we are so glad that you, I mean, I guess it's kind of weird to say we're so glad you're one of us, but we are, you know. Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Oh, we're so glad that your life got messed up and now you've joined us. Well, we're not glad each other's lives got messed up, but we are really, really grateful that we've joined each other in this, is not just a cause, but a whole new way of living, a whole new way of thinking, because our thinking was sure messed up. Richie, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Monty, and, I hope to see you down in Key West, and for all the folks out there in Radio Land, keep going to meetings. You know, it works if you work it, so work it.
Absolutely. Richie, stay on the line for me for a minute while we close out the show. Folks, do not forget the 12-Step Music Fest. Tickets are available at 12stepmusicfest.com, or you can call 305-296-4726. You can follow the links here at take12radio.com as well for information. If you would go to 12stepmusicfest.com, you will be able to listen to the different interviews that we here at Take 12 Radio have interviewed the artists. There are many interviews of the artists that were there last year, as well as the interviews that are being caught up every week, the artists that are going to be there this year as well. So don't miss out on that. Please get your tickets early. Like my friend Mark Lundholm says, you can never register too early, but you can register too late. So you don't want to miss out on that. November 5th through the 8th, Richie Soufa will be there. So will I. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with Richie Soufa, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
Now I guess I've been a stick to staying dry.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Radio.
Kitty, 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 kitty.